wash away some of that pollen. Folks, this lesson is meant to be because I've had all kinds of warfare this morning. I couldn't find my purse, which has my car key in it. Bill leaves early, so I'm always running late. So I couldn't get here. And I mean, you know, just the morning, everything happens. So anyway, I'm here. I made it. And you're here. What a great group for change of time and spring break. I thought, well, we won't have anybody in Sunday school. And I ran out of handouts. Here comes Babs with some more. So if you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. She's going to bring those around. So I know Jenny's one. You need one, Gina? Okay, Zoe's got it. And then Sarah needs one. Anybody else need a handout? Sarah and... Good deal. Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right into our lesson this morning. We're studying the book Habits of Grace by David Mathis, and I love today's lesson. Hope it's going to bless you. Let's pray that it does. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do pray that very thing, that as we look at your word together this morning, that great blessing would come, that you would bless your word, that you would take your word, and that it would land on our hearts this morning, and that it would bear much fruit in our lives. I pray for every home represented, every lady that's here this morning. I ask your blessing on her, her life, her world of influence, her family, her children, her grandchildren. I just ask you, Father, to make this time profitable for the kingdom and for spiritual growth in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can see I've got a very long handout. What?
Erin had a prayer request I forgot to tell you.
Oh, okay. Erin.
Her mother's having a special test tomorrow.
Okay, Erin. Please pray for Erin's mom. She's having a special test tomorrow. So good. Thank you. That's okay. Thank you. Here, Sandra, stick that over there. All right. Let's see. Do you, Babs, where are the handouts? Oh, give one to Katie. Well, welcome back. The good thing about being a teacher is I feel like every week I'm writing a term paper, kind of like for Sunday school, because, you know, I've never had an original thought. And I'm always sitting there, and I'm studying, and I'm preparing. And when you're the teacher, you are forced to set aside time to do this. Because you know Sunday morning is coming, and you're going to have to stand up and teach a whole group of faces. And you don't want to be embarrassed, so you have to study. You know, if I didn't have that, I could let the urgency of life take over. You know how that happens. And it just squeezes out your time for study. So that's one of my favorite things about being a Sunday school teacher, is it makes me study. And as I do, I'm so enriched. I'm so blessed in everything I see. And so this morning, we're going to continue in the subject of prayer. I introduced it to you last week. And it's our second pathway into God's marvelous grace, into positioning ourselves into a place where we receive the abundant grace of God. Everything is by grace in the Christian life. You're saved by grace. You live the Christian life by grace. But here's the deal. How can I position myself to be in a place to receive the maximum grace of God? I just want to jump into the reservoir of God's grace, and I want to swim there. I want it to envelop me. Do you feel that way this morning? And so our first pathway that we studied for several weeks is always where you start in the Christian life, and it's with the Word of God. That's got to be the foremost thing in your life. And now we're entering into prayer. And so this morning, I want us to take a fresh look at our own prayer lives, our own private times of prayer, as well as our public prayer lives. And my prayer is that these lessons on prayer would help you this morning to evaluate your own prayer life and also to tweak it. All right, so y'all in the mood to tweak your prayer lives this morning? Well, that's what we're going to do. Now, that's usually how our spiritual journeys go. We make headway as we identify one or two small changes that will pay rich dividends over the long haul of our spiritual life. Now, think about your own prayer life this morning, and I'm going to ask a question. Does your prayer life need tweaking? Now, this means yes, and this means no. How many of you feel like your prayer life needs a little work? It could be better. It could be richer. It could be more dynamic. And that's what I'm hoping these lessons will do this morning. Maybe you would have to admit this morning, if you were totally honest with yourselves, Teresa, the truth is, I really don't have a very vital, private prayer life. I don't really have a habit in my life of going into my closet, spending time by myself with God in prayer and doing it every day. And I also don't really do it as much as I should, possibly praying with my own husband or my family or my Christian friends. I don't do that enough. And the truth is, this morning, as we come to study the subject of prayer, Teresa, if I were honest, I would have to say I'm really starting from scratch this morning. Francis Chan is a present-day Christian pastor and author. He is a real prayer warrior. Prayer is one of his major topics. And he was speaking in 2015 at the Passion Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And here is a quote from Francis Chan. I don't know if you've read anything by him. He's a very good author. And here's what he said at that conference. He said, "My biggest concern," and by the way, this is a conference to college kids, "my biggest concern for this generation is your inability to focus, especially in prayer." You know, things happen by prayer. Perhaps this is true of you this morning. Perhaps you're feeling in your heart, I have trouble focusing. But I really do desire to become a deeper, more intimate prayer warrior. So some of you are well on your way to dynamic prayer lives, and these lessons are just going to sharpen your prayer skills and encourage you, and others of us are still learning. We're still beginners, but we're desiring to have more dynamic prayer lives. But here's the thing about prayer. Prayer is the very heart of the Christian life, because our communication with God, our relationship with God, is absolutely essential to what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I hear him speak through his word, we speak to each other in prayer. Without prayer, there is no true relationship with God. There's not going to be a delight in who he is without prayer. Apart from prayer, we just kind of get little glimpses of God from afar. But let's begin this morning by talking about two types of prayer. I hope I get through both of them. If I don't, you're going to have to come back next week, right? So the first one we're going to call closet prayer. So put that on your handout, closet prayer. I get the name closet from Matthew chapter 6. And you know Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to 6, verses 5 and 6. Let's hear what Jesus says about prayer there. He says, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, that they might be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, They have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, I'm going to give you a quote by Tim Keller. He died recently, a very respected Christian pastor, theologian, and an author. He had a big Presbyterian church in New York City. Let's listen to what comes out of his book that he wrote on prayer. He writes this: "The infallible test of spiritual integrity," Jesus said, "is your private prayer life." Many people will pray when they are required by cultural or social expectations, or perhaps by the anxiety caused by troubling circumstances. Those with a genuinely lived relationship with God as Father, however, will inwardly want to pray, and therefore will pray, even though nothing on the outside is pressing them to do so. They pursue it even during times of spiritual dryness when there's no social or experiential payoff. So let's write this down about private prayer, about closet prayer on our handout. It reveals what it is we really desire. You see, our private prayer becomes an important test of whether I am really real in my relationship with God. It reveals to me, is Jesus really my greatest treasure? Because if he is, I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to desire to commune with him. Now let's evaluate ourselves this morning. Here are some important questions for us to ask ourselves. Is the Lord truly my deepest joy? Or am I simply using prayer maybe to appear godly? Am I trying to use prayer to impress others? Are my prayers really directed toward God who hears me and wants to do me good? And here's another thing. Not only does our private prayer reveal that we're genuine, but let's write this down. It is a remedy for our inadequacies. It is a remedy for our inadequacies. You see, our private prayer shows us I'm for real spiritually, and that's very important in healing the many places that I find myself where I'm broken and I'm needy and I'm lacking or I'm rebellious. Now, let's write some things down about prayer. Here's the thing about prayer. Actually, it's essential. That's the word, essential. If I'm going to live a genuine relationship with God as my Heavenly Father, prayer is going to be essential to that relationship. And here's another thing. The heart of prayer is not getting things from God, it's getting God. It's getting God, the person. I mean, prayer is just where we're speaking back to God in response to his speaking to us through his word. And when I experience what it means to just enjoy him, it's not me about getting things from him. It's about me knowing him, enjoying him. So it's not just a means of getting. Let's write it this way. It is where we enjoy having God's ear. Listen to John 15:15. Here's what Jesus said there. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So let's write it this way. Prayer is where we learn that we are not just slaves, but also we are friends. We're friends. And friends talk to each other, right? Now let's look at some other verses. Let's go to Romans 8:15 and 16. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, Paul says, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we truly are the children of God. And Galatians 4 says a similar thing. I want to show it to you. Verse 6 and 7, there Paul says, because you are sons, because you are daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then you're an heir through God. So let's write it on our handout. As we pray, we are not just hearers of his word, but his own children who have his heart. Who have his heart. Now, I put a statement on your handout because I want you to think about it. Think with me. God wants to hear from us. Wow. God, you want to hear me. Now, that's an amazing thing. Maybe if I said it standing on my head, it would sink in a little better. Can you just let that fact blow you away? That God wants to hear from you? Is that not amazing? Sisters, do you believe this? Do you really believe God wants to hear you? I mean, what a privilege prayer is. What a powerful thing prayer is in our lives. Why do we live our lives neglecting it? Jesus practiced private prayer so well in the Gospels. Well, let's just look at a few places. Go with me to Matthew 14. Verse 23 says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain, notice, by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. I mean, this was just his regular habit. Look at Luke 5, 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Mark 1, 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, and he was praying there. What a novel idea. Jesus got up while it was still dark. Why? Why? For the purpose of prayer? Could it be that you might have to get up before dark? Because that may be the only time of the day you really are alone and you really can say, this hour is mine and I can pray. He was always finding a closet. Now, think about it with me. He had no inadequacies to make up for. He had no doubts about his identity. He desperately desired fellowship with his Father. That's why he had to get alone and pray. Again and again, we find him praying alone. In fact, before he selected his 12 disciples, Luke 6:12 says this, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also called apostles. You see, the night before he was crucified, and I didn't put this scripture on your handout because it was too long. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's wrestling in prayer and facing the cross, it says three times, he went away and he agonized in prayer with his Father alone. So we find from the beginning of his ministry to the very night before his death, he made the practice of private closet prayer an essential part of his relationship with his Father. So we're finding today, in many ways, our alone time in prayer, our closet times of prayer, they sort of reveal the level of who we are spiritually. Now, another respected theologian and author of our generation was a man named J.I. Packer. Have you heard of him? Here's a quote by him that I really love. "How we pray is as important a question as we can ever face." We're facing that question in our lesson this morning. I hope you're thinking about it. I want to give you 5 suggestions for closet prayer. Here's number 1. Create your own closet. You've got to find a place for private prayer. Now, did a place jump in your mind? Do you already have one? You have that special chair? I have a suggestion. Don't let it be in your bed. If the alarm goes off and you say, "Oh, I'll just lay here and pray." Well, don't do that, because what's going to happen? You're going to go right back to sleep. Get up out of the bed and find a place. It may be an actual closet. It may be a nook under your stairs. It needs to be a place with enough light where you can read or write or journal, and it will help you because it's good to have a go-to spot. That's your special place. Here's number 2. Begin with the Bible. Begin with the Bible. Prayer is a conversation that we didn't start. It is a response to God speaking to us. Now, I'm going to share with you a secret that a great man of prayer learned. We can learn from other people, right? Have you heard of George Mueller? George Mueller lived in the early 19th century. He was absolutely known for his extraordinary prayer life. And books and books are out there about his prayer life. He cared for thousands of orphans in Bristol, England. Yet he made a remarkable commitment. He would never ask people for money. He would only take his needs to God and God alone. And time after time, he prayed for needs. He watched God provide in surprising ways. Now, here's the quote I want you to see by him on your handout. He once said this: "The greatest purpose of my life is to prove that God still answers prayer." And so he had this enormous ministry, and he had a big board up in front of his church, and he would record prayer answers. And as people came to church, they would say, "Oh my gosh, look what God did in response to prayer alone." He would get up very early, and he struggled for about 10 years because he wanted to get up and immediately move into fervent and extended prayer time every day, and it was hard. He had trouble focusing, just like you and I do. And then he learned a secret that really helped him, and that's what I'm going to share with you. He learned that if he would let prayer come in response to beginning his prayer time with the Word of God, his prayers became richer. His prayers became much more fervent. So he would begin his prayer time with a brief prayer that God would help first as he read the Word. So first he went to the Bible, and then he would open his ear to God after reading and meditating on the Scriptures. Then he would transition into a season of private prayer. There's 4 volumes that he wrote on prayer and answers to specific prayers. But I'm going to give you one story that he shares. This is just my favorite story. So one morning in the orphanage, the children, there was no breakfast. They had no food. And so he calmly told the children to sit down anyway at the table. Then he bowed his head and he prayed something like this: "Dear Father, we thank you for the food that you are going to give us." As soon as he finished praying, there was a knock at the door. opened the door, a baker was standing outside. He said, "Mr. Mueller, I could not sleep last night. I felt as if God was telling me to bake bread for the orphanage. Here is the bread that I baked for you." A few minutes later, there was another knock at the door. The milkman's cart had just broken down right outside the orphanage, and the milk was going to spoil before he could repair his cart. And so he said, "Mr. Mueller, could you use any milk?" And that morning, the children had fresh bread and milk provided just in time for breakfast. And this was published on the board as his congregation was coming to church on Sunday. Here's another thought. Use a prayer tool. I'm going to give you one that David Mathis suggests. It's one that I use, and I really, really like it. It's a tool to help guide you in your prayer time. So after you've meditated on the Bible, before you get into your prayer time, it can help to have a form, a tool. And so here's one time-tested tool. And you take the acrostic of the word ACTS. Have you heard of this? Let's go to the A of ACTS. Write it down. The A is adoration. Adoration. So first, just as you're coming to your prayer time, start your time by adoring God. Speak words of worship to God for who He is. Speak words of worship for what He's done for you, for the promises in His Word that you're claiming. Linger here. Don't rush. Cultivate a heart of worship. God, would you help me worship you better? I want to get a glimpse of who you are. I want to give you worth. Wrestle to put into words the glory that you just glimpsed in the Word of God. And then let's go to the C. C is confession. This is where I consider my own sins, my own failings. This is a wonderful time to think about the fact that you've been redeemed from all of that. You've been bought by Christ out of the slave market of sin. And I want to be very honest about my own shortcomings, my own neediness. I want to detest my shortcomings. I want to confess them before God. And then comes thanksgiving. Because by God's grace and God's mercy, I've been delivered from sin. Thanksgiving is a spirit you need to cultivate in your life. It's an attitude of gratitude to God. Think of Him. Think of Him in His grandeur and His majesty and His holiness. He's not just holy, what? He's holy, 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 right? He is so big. And then I'm thinking of Him, and then I'm thinking of myself. You know what I am? I'm a molecule in comparison to Him. I'm so thankful He knows me. He rescued me. Think about how lost you were and how He sought you out and called you to Himself. Let God's gratitude fill your heart for what He's done for you. And then let's move to the S in our little acrostic. And that word stands for supplication. And this is the time now I just ask Him for anything. I pray for myself. I'm asking for those I love. I'm asking for my family. I'm praying for you and your families. And it just goes on and on. Whatever's on my mind for the day, let this time be meditation driven and just guided by what's on your heart and your mind, rather than having this rigid list that you go through every day. No, let it be driven by just your heart. And then the last thing I want us to put there is ACTS. I got all that. Then put this. Next, have a free time of prayer. And this is just where you pray your heart. Mention your burdens, your anxieties, your struggles, your cares, everything that's going on around you, the war in Iran, everything that you are seeing, just whatever, all the things that are going on in your season of life. Maybe you're in young children. There's a lot of dynamics that go on in that season of life. Then there's teenagers. And then you get old. And you have all these aches and pains and things like that. Just take them all to God. You're just expressing to Him what He already knows. But He wants to hear you. He wants you to come to Him. Is this just, ladies, it's an unspeakable privilege that's given to us. So prayer is a place for sharing our hearts. It's also a place for developing our desires. You see, there's power here in prayer because prayer changes our hearts like nothing else does. And here's a suggestion. Follow the prayers in the Bible. I've put a few down for you out of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Get those prayers. You pray those prayers. Let them serve as a prayer guide for you in shaping and expressing your desires towards God. And then number five, keep it fresh. Keep it fresh. Change up your prayer life. While you might want to focus and write your prayers out carefully, thinking of your words, consider sharpening your affections. Oh, goodness, by fasting. Wow, what if we did that? We're going to talk about that in chapter 10. And then, here's another thought. Why don't you plan a special prayer retreat for yourself? Have you ever done this? Where you said, I'm going to get away for the day. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to remove myself from my surroundings and get in a place where I'm not going to be distracted. For the purpose of prayer. I remember in Master Life, years and years ago, do you, any of you remember Master Life? There was a retreat that we planned in Master Life. It was a prayer retreat, and we went away, and we spent time in prayer. And that was sort of like a new experience for me. Had never done that. But it's very, very rich. Y'all, private prayer is so worthy of our attention and our investment. It is very powerful. It seems like my habits in my prayer, private prayer life, they're always changing. Like for a season, I have this page of scriptures I'm praying through. And then, you know, then there's things I've journaled. And I'll go back and read what I've journaled or what prayers I've written. Or I love reading I have a book on Puritan prayers. I'm letting those guide me. I love the Psalms. The Psalms is a book of prayers. I let those guide me. But private prayer is just intensely personal. It's between you and God. Make it a regular practice. Hear His voice in His word, then you respond in prayer. This is a habit of grace for you to develop and to greatly enjoy. It has a role in our lives as Christian women. It's going to look different in each of our lives. You're going to find your place. You're going to find time to go to that place. You're going to get alone and you're going to pray to God in secret. Amen to private prayer. It's so important. But there's more for us to see. There's more for us to see. And let's write it this way. We want to not only have private prayer, but we want to take prayer into our day with us. God doesn't mean for prayer to stay in the closet alone. Prayer is for all of life, especially, listen to me, for our life together in community. We're not only to practice prayer in private, but we're to take it into the whole rest of our lives. For example, look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer. Ephesians 6, pray at all times. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, we ought always to pray and not lose heart. These verses are telling us that we're not to stay all day in our closet, but we're to carry the posture of prayer in our heart as we give ourselves to our daily walks of life. We can live in a Godward way anywhere. You're in your car. You're waiting in line at the grocery store. You're walking in your neighborhood. You pray before your meals. You're in the middle of a difficult conversation, and you're praying like, oh, get out. You can pray anywhere, anytime. Let's listen to a quote by Tim Keller again. He says, everywhere God is, prayer is. Since God is everywhere and infinitely great, prayer must be all-pervasive in our lives. So write it this way on your handout. We are also to pray together with others. This is actually the high point in Christian circles. Now, to pray with other people is going to take some planning, isn't it? It can happen spontaneously. It does quite often. It's going to mean if I really want to be intentional about praying, I'm going to have to take initiative. I'm going to have to sync my schedule with someone else's, and that's going to be a little different than private prayer, isn't it? I can do that anytime. But it's worth every ounce of effort. Do you have someone you pray with regularly, a group or an individual? And so we're to pray privately, but we're also to pray with others, having others pray with us, pray for us. What about Jesus? Did he do this? I mean, if anyone would have been fine without going and praying with people, it would have been him. But time and time again, we catch glimpses of him praying, not only in private prayer, but in corporate prayer. Let's look at a few. Look at Luke 9:28. Some 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took along Peter and John and James, and look what he did. He went up the mountain to pray. Luke 11:1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gladly taught them how to pray together, communally. And that prayer began with our Father, marked by the pronouns we and us all throughout. It was a prayer meant to pray together. Look at Luke 9:18. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. Suddenly they showed up. He allowed them to enter his private prayer space. Rarely did he ever part company with his disciples. They were always together. Surely, regularly, they were praying together. We find it in the early church. Let's look at a few places. Acts 1. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. I love that verse. Acts 4. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. Acts 6. The church chose the seven. They prayed and laid their hands on them. Acts 12:5. While Peter was in prison, it says, so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And when he escaped miraculously, he found in verse 12 that many were gathered together and were praying. And so in Antioch, they were fasting and praying before they sent Paul and Barnabas out on that very first missionary journey. Listen in Acts 13. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, even in jail. Look at Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And then a very emotional goodbye comes in Ephesians chapter 20. Paul is about to depart. And it says there, when he had said these things, Paul knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. Such a sweet scene. Well, here are five suggestions to help us pray with others, and I've got to hurry. Number one, make it regular. Make it regular. Plan a place, plan a time. And I had this thought. Maybe some of you might be interested in meeting with me and just praying for our Sunday school class. And if that's something you might be interested in, to do that on a regular basis, let me know. But the thought David Mathis has, set a limited time. Say, let's meet together for 4 weeks. Let's meet together for 5 weeks. Set a limited time. And then when the time is up, say, now do we want to continue doing this, or do we want to take a break? Or that way it doesn't just fizzle out. Number two, start with Scripture. Because you inhale Scripture first, you exhale prayer. Number three, limit the share time. This is important, girls. You get together with your girlfriends to pray. Guess what you end up doing? You're just talking all these prayer requests. You're sharing. And your time's up. And guess what you haven't done? You haven't actually prayed. So limit your share time, because that will eat up your time. Read a passage, jump right in prayer. And you're sharing your request as you're praying, you see. Number four, be brief and focused. Try not to ramble in prayer. Just say short, focused prayers. It could even include a season of one-sentence praises or one-sentence thanksgivings, which can encourage people to participate. Number five, pray without show, but with others in mind. You see, it's not a time for you to impress others with your words. It's a time for gathering together, praising and confessing and being thankful and making your requests known to God. It's a time directed to God. And it has our other fellow sisters in view. And we'll probably use most pronouns like we, us, and our. Now, as we close, I'm going to run fast through nine benefits. Let's just jot them down and we're done. Number one, added power. There's power when we pray together. Number two, multiplied joy. When we share the joy of prayer with another person, we double our joy. Number three, we give greater glory to God. Number four, it results in fruitful ministry and mission. Number five, it creates unity among believers. Unity among the believers. Number six, we receive answers we otherwise would not get. And I put James 5 there. Let's read it. Is anyone among you sick? Well, he's going to need some people to pray for him. And that's calling for a group to come and pray. You see, there are some things that require others praying together. And here is one example. See, he needs to call the elders of the church. They're to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that prayer offered in faith is going to restore him. And not only that, it says that, you know, if he needs to confess sins, well, he's going to have to do that in a group, too. Number seven, to learn and grow in our praying. And that's just so simple, ladies. The best way to learn to pray is to pray with others who've had their prayer skills sharpened through Scripture. And as I'm praying with someone who's ahead of me spiritually and who is more advanced in their prayer skills, I'm learning, you see. That helps me. Learn to listen to those around you who are prayer warriors, who know how to go to God. Number eight, Here's the eighth benefit. We'll know each other. One of the best ways to grow in fellowship is to pray together. I'm praying for you. You're praying for me. Yes. Know Jesus more. Know Jesus more is the last one. And I saved the best for last. You see, the greatest benefit in us praying together is that we know Jesus better when we pray together in his name with others who love him. We'll close with this final Tim Keller quote. He observes, "By praying with friends, you will be able to hear and see facets of Jesus that you have not yet perceived." And I'll just close with this one thought. We said it in the beginning of our lesson, that the great purpose of God is not getting things from God. It's getting God himself. It's getting God. This benefit alone should be enough to inspire us to pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this good word this morning. I pray that you'll take it and use it to exhort us, to get in our closets, and also to get with others, to take prayer into our day, to let prayer be our mindset, to let it be the very atmosphere we live in, to become so aware that you are so available. You are a word away, a breath away. Oh, for grace to be prayer warriors like this. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to still be talking about prayer next week. You don't want to miss. Y'all win the